Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Coach Talk. I am your host, Coach E. I want to kind of go over a couple of things before we dive into this week's topic. Last week, we began talking about the cash flow quadrant and how most entrepreneurs and small business owners get stuck in the self-employed section of the quadrant. They get married to their businesses, and so their business is surviving or off of just them. You hardly are able to take vacations. If you get sick, your business stops, all of that good stuff, right? So today we're going to move into getting that mindset shifted from employee to business owner, because there's a shift that has to happen. And so I'm trying to slow down because I'm excited. Y'all know how I get. I get real excited and I start blah, 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 blah going on. So before we get there, I just want to make sure that I announce that if you are someone that's in business for yourself and you would like to have resources at your fingertips for automation, to be able to join a free network of other entrepreneurs where you can meet all over the U.S., definitely go to www.everythingnewcoaching.com/resource-hub. That'll get you able to join the New Roots Success Hub, which is a free hub for networking. We do some trainings in there. There's ebooks that you can purchase. All kinds of things will and is happening inside of the hub. So you definitely want to be a part of that. Also in that resource, you'll find different things about virtual addresses, automating your business, marketing, all of that stuff. You want to be there. Information is steadily being added, so you definitely want to be a part of that. I also want to mention that if you are in the Virginia area and you are a woman entrepreneur, a woman small business owner, or a woman executive of any sort, I highly encourage you to go to Opulent Lady BA, that stands for Business Association.com, and get some information. We just started a chapter here in the Virginia area, and some fabulous ladies are a part, and we are looking to grow that out. So I'm not going to hold back any longer because I know you all are ready to dive in. So as I stated, most people start their business, they get stuck in the self-employment place. And it's very hard to transition from being an employee to a business owner. And I was listening, you know, I always prepare for my meetings, for my shows, by doing research, not just on what I've learned and what I've seen my clients go through, but, you know, owning a business is something that is not brand new, right? It's been around since the foundation of this country, right? And beyond. But it's also, there are people every day that's starting businesses, and there are more coaches out here. So I like to hear, you know, what they are facing. And this one lady, oh man, she was phenomenal. I came across her information. I had to stop and do some research and do some thinking about it. But she said 80% of your transition is mindset. Only 20% of it is tools and strategies. I know y'all remember me saying I can teach a child, an animal, anything. I can teach anybody how to start a business, how to budget their money, how to have credit. But the problem is it's never the tools and the information that's the problem. It's the mindset and the ability to apply what you have learned. That's wisdom, right? And so you're going to hear me, you know, periodically through all of our segments, I'm going to talk a lot about belief, behavior, producing results. Your belief system regulates your thinking, which regulates your behavior, which regulates your results. So the thing that I despise the most is a person that knows everything and they are not open to learn. I despise that because when you're in that place of knowing it all or thinking you know it all, you miss out on key nuggets that can cause you to prosper. Think about it. I tell my children and I tell my clients all the time, nothing changes until you change. You gotta change. And how do you change? When new information is bombards you, new information has to hit you, gotta hit you. And when it hits you and causes an impact, so the impact has to be so, it has to disrupt what you're dealing with right now, what you think you know. It has to disrupt it. So depending on the way the impact happens determines, you know, how quickly or how effective you take the new information, right? Think about how many times as a kid, and I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Just walk with me. How many times have you told your child or you when you were a kid was told, don't do that. And let's just use don't put that pen in the light socket. Don't put the spoon in the light socket. Leave the light socket alone. And you keep playing, or the child keeps playing. Keep going, until they get shot. It was the shot that said, I'm not going to play with the light socket. How about when you say, stay away from the stove is hot? Did not say stay away from the stove is hot. Oh my God, I burnt myself. But guess what? You're staying away from the stove. I know those examples seem to be like, oh my gosh. But think about the impact that it took for them to learn. So some people say, well, I know I've heard this so much, but it hasn't bombarded you yet. It hasn't impacted you yet. It hasn't done a collision yet. It hasn't disrupted yet. And so why am I saying this? Is that because when we deal with people that know it all and feel like, well, I know it, but the behavior is not aligning with what you know, then have you really been impacted with the new information? So it bothers me. It bothers me to see people in those places. And guess what? Coaching used to be there. I cannot sit here and act like that I don't know, but I lost time in those places. And, but you know, to God be the glory. You know, he's in charge of all time. Nothing is ever lost. It's just about getting up, moving forward, and forgetting what was past. So, let's move on in to today, talking about the transition from employee to small business owner. As we talked about, 80% of that is definitely about your mindset. So I want to talk first. There's two sets of people that I'm going to talk to on today. The first set of people are those that are employed. Those that are employed, you have a vision. You want to launch. The other are those that already have launched and this is your only income. Woo! So, Coachee is going to give some good advice to you guys that are still employed and wanting to launch. I used to be so angry when people would tell me to get a job. It was an insult. It was a B big insult to me. Why are you having this conversation, Coach E? I'm having this conversation because what most people do, or a lot of times what I see, is people will get this vision. They won't do enough research. They'll make a few sales. Then they'll launch into the deep because they feel like, I got this. I got this. I can do this. So what happens is when they do that, if they don't have strong reserves set up for emergencies, right? 6 to 12 months set up somewhere. Because, and why do I say 6 to 12 months? I used to tell people 3 to 6, but I was listening to a gentleman and what he said made so much sense. He doesn't say 3 to 6, he says 6 to 12, because you own a business. And depending on the type of business that you own will determine how long it takes you to start producing revenue. And then even in the producing of the revenue, now we're talking about, because now we're talking about gross profit versus net profit, right? And I'll go through that on another episode, but it's very important for me to break this down. So you may be producing revenue, and a lot of people see, oh, they make a lot of money. Look at how much money they make, but that doesn't mean they're in profit mode. Doesn't mean you're in profit mode. So sometimes we come out the gate because we're so energetic. We, you know, it's a fresh idea. We are feeling confident. Oh my God, this vision came to me. I have so much enthusiasm. I'm sharing it with everybody and people are buying. Oh man, I'm living a life here. I don't need that 9 to 5. What? It's taking time from what I can be doing. My whole vision, I want to slow you down today. Make sure before you walk away that you have managed to put 6 to 12 months in an interest-bearing account so that when rough times hit, not if, I want you to hear that I didn't say if, I said when rough times hit, that you have something to pull on. Now, some may say, oh, I'll just take it from my 401k. Well, why would you do that? I'm not saying you can't, but why would you? Because one day you're going to get older and you're going to want that money that you've worked so hard for to continue to grow and continue to work for you, that you'll be able to pull it off of it and not work so hard. Later on in life, it can become a revenue stream or an investment piece, right? An investment tool. Again, another show. I don't want to dig down into all of that, but I want you to follow me here. Start reducing your expenses. Start increasing what you save. Pace yourself. Let the revenue that you create in your business, let the gross profits and then take away all the expenses. Now we're at net profits. And one of the expenses being your income, let your income be able to be replaced by the business. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about because I don't want any misunderstanding. If you are at your current employer and you make $4,000 a month, until your company is producing $12,000 a month, you heard me, until it's producing $12,000 a month, you're not ready to walk away from that 9 to 5. Why do I say that? Because your company has to be able to grow. It has to be able to sustain itself. You may say, well, I'm taking half. So that should, okay, you're taking half. But don't, at some point, you're going to need a virtual assistant. You're going to need other people. So in economics, there's a And you, when you look at economics, when looking at your business, there's a magic number that each business must meet in terms of laborers in order for you to max out profitability. So in order for you to hire laborers so you can max out profitability, it's going to require money. So if you're taking half of everything that's coming in, then it's reducing what you can do in order to hire other people. Okay? So I really want you to think about that. Then I want you, because when we don't do that, and I want to kind of go back, we don't move from employee to business. We move from employee to self-employed. Because now we're married to, we don't took half the income from our business, and now we are trying to struggle to make sure that we're hitting those numbers. Where is the overflow at in the business? I want you to think about that too. How can I pay myself, pay the expenses of the business, hire laborers, and still have overflow if I'm taking half of everything the business is owning? Where is the growth? How can you get to a place that in 5 years, you are now in multiple locations, or your business has gone beyond state lines, or you done hired a bunch of people? Like, how are you going to do that? And that's what normally happens. People make 10, 20,000 in the business, and then the business may only get anywhere between 2 to 5,000. And then the rest the owner is getting, right? And so now we're talking about the expenses of the business may be anywhere between $1,000 to $2,000. And so where's the growth at? Where's the reserve at for rainy day, even for your business? Because a lot of times what we think about is rainy day, we can pull from our personal. But one of the things that I've always thought is that your business is its own person and you are your own person. So your business should have overflow capital, right? Your business should have savings, just like you should have overflow and savings. You shouldn't have to pull from your personal to put in your business. You shouldn't have to do that. You should operate whereas you're working on the business and in the business while working your full-time job. And then when you hit your magic numbers, then you could say, you know what? It's been real. I'm outie. Okay? And when I talk to those that said, look, I started my business. I couldn't get a job. Or I lost my job for whatever reason, and I'm here, and I got expenses, and I got to make some things shake. I get that. You know, the crazy thing is I've been on both sides of this. That's the crazy thing. So I know the mindset. I know the things that run through your head. I know the belief system that you're battling, because I've been there. I've been on both sides, y'all, both sides. And so it's very complicated. It can get very complicated when you start your business and there's nothing else there. One of the things that I've learned is that if you're going to work your business full time, you gotta manage your time and find something that you can do 10 to 20 hours a week minimum. Minimum. That will bring in revenue to your home, so that you're not eating up all of the proceeds that's coming in from your business. Example, you start your business, you're making about $5,000 a month in your business. Your personal expenses is $4,000. So you pull $4,000 from your company and it leaves $1,000, but it really costs for your company to run efficiently $3,000 a month for it to run. So now your company is operating on a very thin budget, one that has no room for growth. So now guess what has happened? You've gotten stuck in the self-employed bracket. because now it's like, I don't have time. I can't do anything but this. I have to show up for that. Everything is based on, I got to produce. And so you get stuck in a cycle. You got to find something. There's so many different gig jobs out here that you can actually do. There's so many part-time jobs out here that you can actually do, that you can at least take care of the bare minimums of your expenses, all while figuring out what can you cut out? What can you reduce? What can you reduce? So if you're bringing in $5,000 and it costs $4,000 and your part-time only will allow you $2,000 a month, well, then that means if it takes $3,000 to run the business, you can at least pull out another $1,000 out of the business, right? Why do I say $1,000? Because you still need overflow. You still need it to build up. So you got to figure out, how do I cut $1,000 out of my budget without living on credit cards? How do I cut $1,000 out of my budget? Sometimes it's about, we want to live a certain way, so we don't want to give up certain things. One of the things I do with any of my clients that come to me, and they talk about, hey, I have, like, you know, my credit is jacked up. I don't know what's going on. I got a project for us. Let's track your spending. And it's in that moment that they realize that, and this is only if you're willing to be honest with self. Only if you're willing to be honest with self. They realize, wow, I am spending, or I'm living away in a place I really can't afford. But if I adjust to the amount that I can afford, I don't know if I'm going to be comfortable because I'm used to this, this, and this. But it's like, okay, so what do you want? A temporary feeling of uncomfortability so that you can grow further? Or do you prefer to be comfortable and still struggle? Comfortable and yet stuck. The choice is yours. It's yours. The choice is really yours. Can't no one make that decision for you but you. But if you choose to be comfortable versus uncomfortable, you're going to stay in your same cycle. And there's nothing that anyone can do about it. Nothing. So my question for you today is, what you going to do about it? Don't get mad at Coachy. I'm just trying to help you get it together. So let's move on to the next thing. Because all of these things that I'm giving you are tips for you not to get stuck in that self-employed quadrant. I want you all to move to being business owners. I want you to move to being business owners. It's about systems, automation, duplication. That's what it's all about. You don't have to have 30 to 40 or 50 employees working for you. If you're best at 1 to 2, hey, but you're a business now. Your entity can move even when you're not present. Let's talk about when you're in this building phase, what's important. And I want to just kind of take a sidebar and have this conversation because I remember when COVID happened, and I was selling insurance during that time. I found that disability insurance was actually helping people out that got COVID. So can you imagine the business owners that had disability insurance and ended up with COVID and could not run their businesses for 30 days or so? Can you imagine what that looked like for them to be able to say, I can still be paid and the revenue that my business is currently generating, I can temporarily put someone in that space where I can pay them and they can move forward. And then I can depend on my emergency fund to offset what disability is not paying so that I can get well and my company can stay strong? Because some of you say, well, I was doing well before COVID. Well, that means you didn't have all of your things in line. Your disability insurance, your life insurance. Life insurance ain't just for when you're dead, people. It's not. There's been so many upgrades to life insurance. If you don't know, you need to go really and ask somebody. I'm corny. Y'all know that. But I'm just saying, you need to really go and ask somebody. Stop thinking life insurance is about death. There are death benefits, but there are also living benefits of life insurance. And you're missing the mark. You're missing the mark. Some of these policies have riders that if you get cancer, that they'll pay you a certain amount of money. There's all kinds of riders out here. But if you're not asking anybody, if you feel like, well, that's the last thing that I can do is insurance. You know what? You don't want to be financially prospering as a business owner. Because most of these big businesses that you see, insurance has been their tool that they use to build wealth inside of their organization. You're missing it, people. You're missing it. Investing. You may not have maybe you're still at a job anymore. You're doing a part-time and you're building your business. You need to factor in still one day you're going to get older. You're not going to want to work as hard or as many hours. You're going to want to get revenue. You're going to want to get monies, set up some annuities or some other IRAs or what have you. You seek a financial advisor or a financial planner so that you can get your financial affairs in order. Even if you are working for someone. Why? Because life happens. Like I hear that so often. Well, life does happen. But are you prepared? Because as long as you got breath in your body and blood in your veins, life is going to happen. But as a business owner, we can't make that our excuse. We have to prepare for life to happen. So when it shows up, we're ready. One of my first businesses that I started, I used to tell people that you have to be prepared to succeed. I want y'all to hear that. You got to be prepared to succeed. And what happens is we don't prepare for success. We just think because we got a great idea, I'm taking it to the marketplace, that everybody's going to see my idea, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and that's what it's going to be. No, if that was the case, a lot of people would be rich. Look around, people are losing their homes. 50% of new businesses fail within the first 5 years and the other half within the 10. Very few survive past 10 years. Why is that? I'm happy you asked. Because most of us enter businesses without doing research on the market that we're entering. Most of us do businesses without having a full understanding of the target market in which we're going after. We think that I have a product for everybody. Everybody don't want your product. Figure out who do. When you figure out who wants what you got, then you can tap into wealth. Because now you're not spending your dollars. You're not spending your dollars on people that don't care about what you got. There are three major reasons why most businesses fail. Poor management. Not enough capital, and poor marketing. Those are the three main reasons people fail. And most people think that marketing is social media. Social media is only an outlet of marketing. So then people want to go hire a social media specialist or flyer specialist. This is my marketing team. That ain't your marketing team. Your marketing team creates campaigns based on who you're targeting. Understand their characteristics. Understanding how to talk to them, where to find them. The campaign speaks to them because it's a psychological thing. And it draws them in to wanting to spend money with you. It's causing you to stand out and being priced at the right price and having what you offer in the right place. So when you are hiring a marketing professional, they should be able to take care of those things. Now, see, here it is. When you hire one of those kinds of professionals, you're not going to pay them a couple of $100 a month. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. And why do I say that's ridiculous? Because they are the backbone of your company. We got to get serious about this stuff. They're the backbone of your company. So if they're failing at marketing and getting your brand out there and advertising you, then guess what? Your business is already behind. As my grandmother would say, they ball. Okay, I'm giving y'all too much today. I'm giving y'all too much. But look, I just want to get us to a place where we're not getting stuck in self-employed, but we're literally coming from employee to business owner, because it is possible. It's really possible. Here's another thing I want to talk about. Why are you doing your business? Why? Now, if your why is because I want to make a lot of money so I can do this, that, and the other, chances are, when hardships within your business happens, you're going to get so discouraged because you're not seeing money flowing that you're going to walk away from your business or start making poor financial decisions because you're chasing that dollar that you believe that you should be able to produce, because this is why I do what I do. Coachy wants to help you here. Y'all ready? Are y'all really ready? I'm not supposed to be your friend today, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be your coach. A correction can sometimes make you angry. Sometimes say, I'm just going to cut this annoying woman off. And it's okay, wherever you find yourself at today, that's fine. Just get the information, meditate over it, and make some changes. But your why should be so much more than a financial why. What is the purpose for it? And let me tell, can I be honest with y'all? Sometimes you gotta sit with that thing. Because depending on where you are when you first get that vision, it might come out like a money thing. Then you might start trying to mirror everybody else's why. I don't know, you're like, Coach, if for real? Yeah, I'm being for real. Because then you're like, oh, I sound so self-centered with this one. I just feel so empty on this one. And so, oh, yeah, that why I sound good. So then you try to apply their why, and their why ain't working. Sometimes you just got to sit with a thing. Because sometimes we get great visions at wrong times in our life. We do. I can't tell you how many times that happened to me. And when I say wrong times, I'm not saying that the time wasn't optimal. What I'm saying is the time and relating to my thinking, my belief system, my behavior. So for me, getting whatever type of vision, it was just like, ugh. So I got to really sit. Why do I really want to do this? I need to figure this out beyond me. I need to move beyond what I see. I got to move beyond, especially, you know, because we hear all this, oh, I'm building generational wealth, but you're worried about self. You haven't looked into the next generation to see what they're going to need. You think that wealth is only about money. Oh, you're so lost. You're lost. Because everything is about you and money, then you're not building generational wealth. And I've talked about it on a previous episode. So if you haven't caught that episode, you make sure you go to coachtalk.harpsoundmediallc.com and look for the generational wealth segment that we did. That breaks all of these things down. I want you to come into a place of understanding. I want you to be enlightened. I don't want you to continue to do what everybody else is doing and getting what everybody else is getting as a result. You know, a lot of times we want to compare ourselves because, well, they're doing what appears to be what I'm doing. And look at all of that money they're making. But you don't see how much debt they got. So at the end of the day, what looks like a lot of money being made is really a lot of money being spent. Stop comparing you. Can I take it even further? You're uniquely made, uniquely designed, uniquely created, thought of, put here. You are unique. So your approach at coaching, your approach at sales, your approach at baking, your approach at selling real estate, your approach to making candles, your approach to being a hairdresser, a barber, for making hair products, whatever your it is, your approach is unique. And who you are called to is purposeful for you. People will be ready to hear your voice. They'll be able to respond to what you're sending out into the marketplace because they've been waiting on you the whole time. So, where do we go from here, Coachie? We're going to still move ourselves from, we're going to still continue this journey from employee to business owner. Over the next couple of weeks, I'll also be having some guests that'll come on in various areas because I want us to really dig this thing out. What does it look like? What does it look like? You know, what does it look like when I have a partnership and I'm the one that's married to the business and the partner isn't? I'm the one doing all the work. But I can't go nowhere. Look, when I tell you I'm talking about stuff, I'm not talking about just people that I've serviced. I'm talking about stuff that I've done. I've experienced. You know, I always would tell people when I sold mortgages, I would always tell people when I would sit down to educate them on their finances, I would always say, I'm going to teach you by how the bank taught me, by my life experiences, and by Holy Spirit. Would always tell people that. And it is so true. To this day, I still teach by what the industry has taught, by what my life experiences have been, and by what Holy Spirit downloads. Because I'm giving information that has had to change my life. And in some areas, I'm still cultivating. You know, don't think just because we coaches, don't think. I tell people all the time, coaches need coaches. So don't you think that we got it all together. We just gifted, y'all. We just gifted, anointed, to be able to take you from point A to point B. But we need other people to help us get from point A to point B, too. So don't get it twisted, okay? Look, this is a great place for us to stop. I am so excited that you all joined me this week on Coach Talk. Yes, you get a little bit more of my quirky personality. I'm a little cornball at times. I make me laugh, okay? If nobody else is laughing, I'm laughing. If I can't laugh at my own jokes, my goodness. So, right there. So, I hope you got some really good information. And I hope that you're going to take some time to really sit back and reevaluate how you are moving in the marketplace. And are you really stuck? Are you stuck at being self-employed? And what out of what was discussed on today can move you from that self-employed stuck place to the business ownership place? And we're going to, trust me, we're going to also talk about what business ownership looks like. I mean, beyond just saying, hey, I got an LLC or an corporation and an EIN number and some insurance. No, we're going to really dig that out because it's really about duplication, automation, and systems. All right, y'all. This is your host, Coach E, and thank you for joining this week's episode of Coach Talk. You all have a blessed and fantastic rest of your week.